a psychic medium hired at a church in Atlanta? Do you worship Jesus or scripture? And why is Iggy Azalea trending on Twitter? And what does it tell us about sexual sin in this age? Stay with us as we look at this and other stories on 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Hey, welcome back to 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. We are so excited to have you back this week as we go through a number of different stories that took place that honestly are somewhat jaw-dropping. And what it really reflects is a lot of things that are going on in the church. And I want to talk about how Scripture details these exact things that were going to happen and that are happening, and some of the warnings through the Old Testament and the New Testament concerning what some churches are getting involved in. You know, the Bible actually tells us in the book of Romans that everything that was written, everything in the Old Testament was written for our strength and for our encouragement that we might find hope. So when we read those things and we understand that there is a hope, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, we have Jesus Christ, I think it's really important to dig in and really understand what does God have for you. And when it comes to this week specifically, it's a devastating story and a really a blight on the church when it comes to what's going on at the Vision Church or Vision Church in Atlanta. You see, it's all over the news in terms of the Christian realm because they've actually hired a medium. Okay. This is not me claiming that she's a medium. This is by her own words that she is a medium that has been hired at a church in Atlanta to come and be part of their church staff, okay? I mean, I don't know how far off you have to go before you start hiring mediums, but this is from the Christian Post. They actually quoted her, and she said, quote, "Being a medium allows me to communicate with our loved ones who are departed. But God's word says this in Isaiah 8:19. When you say, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living?" And I could stop there and say, wow, look at God explaining very clearly we shouldn't look for the meeping and the muttering and hoping that grandma can tell us some secret. Okay, God has already declared his truth to us through his word. And he goes further. In verse 20, it says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to his word, it is because they have no dawn. They will pass through the land hard-pressed and famished, and it will turn out that they are hungry. They will be enraged and curse the king and their God as they face upward. Then they will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be driven away into darkness." You know, one thing you might notice is that when it comes to false prophets, when it comes to these mediums, and when it comes to these sorcerers, 9 times out of 10, or I would say 99 times out of 100, they have good things to tell you. You know, they have really good things to tell you, and something's coming this way, and you have this, and if they tell you a danger, they tell you, oh, well, it's dangerous over here, but if you go this way, everything will be fine. And that's exactly what God says. No, what's going to happen is you're going to be led into darkness. And if you do not speak according to his word, you have no dawn. She went on further to say this, "God told me to do the show." Speaking of her show on YouTube about being a medium, said, "Honestly, I was reluctant at first because I felt very vulnerable and thought I would get a lot of pushback and negative feedback being a minister and a medium. I thought people wouldn't understand, but I knew I still had to do it. I knew I'd been called to do it. When I asked God, why this gift? Why not singing? God said, I promised my people eternal life. How will my people know that I've kept promise if you don't demonstrate your gift?" Interesting that she would believe that God told her to make this series. Interesting that God, according to her, told her that she should be a medium and having a series encouraging other believers to get involved in this nonsense on YouTube. The problem is, the Bible, in no uncertain terms, actually tells us that the very first king of Israel, King Saul, was killed, was put to death. Although he killed himself, ultimately, God is the one who put him to death. God holds our breath in his hands. Okay? And for what reason? 1 Samuel 10, 13 through 14 gives us the commentary on this. It says, "So Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord, because the word of the Lord, which he did not keep, and also because he consulted of a medium, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse." You see that? Consulting mediums is serious. The book of Leviticus warns this exact thing, that people will be accursed through it. We should read that and we should tremble before God and say, "God, I realize and recognize that you hold my breath in your hands. You know exactly who I am, and you know exactly how I run, and you know the end from the beginning. You're different than all these false gods. I don't need to consult a medium. I can dig into your word. I have a word more sure." And I think this is really interesting. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21 talks about Scripture and how we rely on Scripture and why we rely on Scripture. It says this, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Now notice, this is a letter from Peter. Peter was there when this happened. This is called the Transfiguration. It's detailed in three different gospels, okay? The Transfiguration that took place. And it was literally God the Father speaking to them about Jesus, okay? So I want you to get that into your head, that this scripture Peter is referring to, he didn't follow cleverly devised tales about the majesty of Jesus. He did not hear some story and say, "Okay, that's a great guy to follow." But he was an eyewitness of his majesty and specifically pointed out to when God spoke from the clouds. Verse 18, "And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." Verse 19, "So we have the prophetic word made more sure than what? God's voice speaking from a cloud." Okay? "We have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit from God." You see, you know, they call it skywriting, or, you know, "God spoke to me and said this." The problem is, if God does not speak according to his word, you're listening to a different God. It is so clear. And I've told this story quite a bit, but I remember when I first moved into my apartment, when I was just married, my wife and I were just married, and we had this terrible little apartment that we lived in. And our two homes, my parents' home and her parents' home, had already kind of been marked off by the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons. Like, don't go over there if you guys have any experience witnessing and sharing the gospel with Mormons and J-dubs. And you could literally see them sometimes, like, coming up to there looking and then walking across the street and going around you. And so our houses was, you know, verboten for the Mormons and the J-dubs. So we didn't have them come into our parents' houses anymore. But at our new place, we weren't marked off yet because we were just married. And when we just got married, I literally called out sick for the first time in my life as a worker. I'm big on not calling out sick. I could barely get up. It was horrible. And my poor wife was sick as a dog as well. And we're laying there and we're cooking soup. And I hear a on the door. And I'm like, middle of the day, you know, it's like 11 o'clock, you know, normal work day. I'm like, wonder what anybody's, you know, what somebody's doing here. And so I go to check the door and I look and I see two guys in white with their little elder name tags, even though they look pretty young. But nonetheless, I'm like, okay, Lord, you've given me an opportunity. I just gave a message last week about witnessing no matter what. I got to share the gospel with these guys. So anyways, we call them into our house and, you know, I kind of try to clean myself up a little bit. And I bring them in and we start talking scripture. And we're digging in and we're talking about the Book of Mormon and comparing 2 Nephi 25, 23 with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 and showing them, hey, this is works-based, this is non-works-based in terms of salvation. There's a contradiction here. And my wife starts going into the Adam-God doctrine and some of the nonsense in the Mormon church and about Brigham Young calling upon demons to, you know, help him preach his sermons. So we went through all this stuff and sadly they start getting angry. And so I share my testimony. I said, hey, I'm just letting you know, not only am I share my testimony with you, but also I want you to know my wife and I, we stayed home today. I've never called out sick. This is the first time I've called out sick. And we did that because you're walking around here and you don't know God. You don't know his word. You don't know the true Jesus. Okay. You don't know the Jesus of scripture. And my wife, you know, was very kind. And they said, hey, you know, and it was cool because, you know, the Bible says in the Book of Proverbs that a soft answer turns away wrath. And one of the things I wanted to do was make sure that, hey, you understand that I'm doing this because I love you. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know the true Jesus, not this made up American Jesus that, you know, Mr. Joseph Smith made up, but I want you to know the true Jesus. And Holly told them after they said, hey, we just want you to pray about it. You know, we want you to pray about it. And I know they want you to see if you have a burning in the bosom, you know, you eat some bad chili or something. But nonetheless, my wife comes out and she's, you know, full of wisdom. And she said, you know, I had a friend who said, I think I'm supposed to leave my husband. I think I'm supposed to leave my husband. And they said, well, has your husband cheated on you? Has he, you know, left you? I mean, what deserted you? What do you mean? I think you should leave your husband. Well, I'm going to pray to God and see if God wants me to leave my husband. But the scripture says there's no, you know, sorry, bumped the mic there. The scripture says there is no, you can't divorce. You know, Jesus is very clear on this for any reason other than sexual immorality. And they're like, okay. And she said, my aunt prayed that prayer and she was led to leave her husband and left her husband. And Holly said, my wife, she never needed to pray that prayer. Do you know why? Because God already made it clear. And God already made it clear in his word that you guys are false prophets. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 11, 2-4. Galatians 1, 6-9. You're bringing another gospel. We've been betrothed to one Christ. I never need to pray if I need to add some more to Jesus. So I don't need to pray that prayer. Because God has already declared it in his word. And if I got an answer that was contrary to his word, it's not from the God of heaven. It's from the God of this world. And that wisdom that she gave has, I thought, was just amazing. And I think it's really important that we understand that. And we understand what Peter's trying to convey to us when it comes to scripture. When it comes to scripture, we have a word more sure than God speaking from heaven. That is what he told us. So when I read his word, when I study his word, I get to know him. You know, there are quite a few people who say things like, well, you know, I don't want to worship the scripture. I want to worship Jesus. The problem is you need to worship the Jesus of the scripture. Because if it's the Jesus of your own making, all you've done is committed the sin of the first two commandments. And one of them is you fashioned a God of your own understanding. You have formed a Jesus to your own liking. And this Jesus can do whatever you want because you think you're living by the Spirit. The problem is the Spirit of truth. Jesus promised that when the Holy Spirit would come, he would come and not only convict the whole world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, but he would, guess what? He would lead us into all truth. And what did Jesus say was truth? John 17, 17, his high priestly prayer before he went to go be crucified, before Judas came and kissed him, he cried out and he said, Lord, sanctify them in thy truth, or through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Your sanctification starts with the truth of God's word. You are saved by grace through faith. And guess what? How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the words of Christ. We have a word more sure. So when I go to God's word, I know what it says about mediums. So I know she's a false prophetess, without a doubt. Because if the king of Israel was put to death for consulting a medium, if I have a word more sure than God speaking from heaven in cloud writing, then I need to go back to it and say, this is damnable. This is horrible. And it's no wonder that a church like Vision in Atlanta, Vision Church of Atlanta, would, guess what, be accepting of this. If you go to thevisionchurch.org, where they're from, this is literally what it says. Quote, right on the front, it's the first thing you see. The mission of the Vision Church is to equip the people of God to achieve their personal and corporate destiny. That's the mission of this so-called ecclesia. That's the mission of this so-called church, this false church. And you know what this really is, guys? What this really is getting away from the sufficiency of Scripture. Once you have done that, you become your own God. And why do you think God would allow this? Why would he allow these false prophets to set up shop? I believe that Scripture explains this for a couple of different reasons. One would be they don't adhere or love the truth, and so they're given over to a lie. They don't care about God's word. They don't care about what God's truth says, and they allow their feelings to dictate truth. 2 Timothy 4 tells us that those who do not adhere to the truth, they would rather heap for themselves teachers that will tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. In Philippians 3, Paul warns of those who are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction. And he says that their God is their belly and their glory is their shame, because they set their mind on earthly things. Look at the Kenneth Copelands of the world who need a private jet plane because he says he doesn't want to be walking around all those demons. The lost people that we're supposed to go out and reach and share the gospel with, in that same letter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, in that same chapter even, it's a pastoral epistle that tells pastors to do the work of an evangelist. And you have these false teachers that are up in airplanes saying, well, I get up there because I'm closer to heaven up there. I'm sorry. Jesus told the woman at the well, guess what? People will go to here to worship and to there to worship, but a time is coming and is now that it doesn't matter where you are. I'm close to Jesus. I can be in my prayer closet. Okay? I can be riding a bike. I could be at the gym and just as close to God than if I'm sitting in Israel. That's the veil being torn. That's me going into the Holy of Holies, going directly to Christ. And I know all of those things because it's according to his word. And guys like Kenneth Copeland, these false prophets whose God is their belly, who care more about the things of this world, the money, than it comes to the gospel. It's a judgment against us. These are the same men that Paul warns about in 2 Timothy 3 when it says there are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's a judgment upon the people of God. And you know, this question, I believe it's twofold. And Pastor Joe was asked in Sacramento a number of years, and I want to play this clip for you. He was asked, why does God allow these false prophets? And specifically what the guy was asking about was Muhammad. And why would he allow Muhammad to come and allow this, you know, this demon angel to come tell Muhammad and all these people fall for it? And I want you to hear this clip. And I think it gives us, he uses scripture, which is the same thing I want to use whenever I answer a question. Because if I start getting away from the Jesus of scripture, if I start getting away from the God of scripture and start going with my own feelings, I can be led and tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And if you notice, that's exactly what happens to people. When they get away from the word, they're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They have new ideas all the time, new feelings, and their belly is their God because they go with whatever their belly tells them. But I want you to hear how Joe answers this question, because I think it's very profound. Let me get that clip going for you.
The young man asks if Gabriel was deceiving Muhammad, not Gabriel, but an angel claimed to be Gabriel was deceiving Muhammad, why didn't God stop it, knowing that it would become such a very big religion and deceive so many people? Is that right? Yeah, the answer is actually in Deuteronomy 13. It's the answer is actually in the Bible itself. God says he'll allow false prophets to come among you. He says, and to turn your hearts or to preach a different God. It's in Deuteronomy 13. He says, I'll allow false prophets. He even doesn't say that. He says, he'll allow, not just that. He says, I'll allow false prophets to come among you, dreamers of dreams, and their dreams to come to pass. To tell you to go after other gods. In other words, he won't just allow false prophets, but he'll allow them to have a false sign and wonder. That will even come to pass, and then to preach a different God. And then he tells us why. He says, I'm doing this, or allowing this to happen, to test you.
I think that's a great clip. And it's one of my favorite clips that we have on our YouTube channel for Good Fight. Because Joe goes directly to the scripture, and to point out, they will push you to another God. A total different God. A totally different God. A totally different gospel. A God that accepts mediums. A God that accepts you and just says, you know what? You just be that wicked sinner committing adultery. We're so glad to have you. We'll even brag about it. Hey, we got the adulterers here. Isn't that what happened in the church of Corinth? Oh, yes. You accept this. Oh, we have this guy sleeping with at best his stepmom, probably his mother. We accept him for who he is. Not come out from their midst and be separate. Not judge this. This guy's claiming to be a believer and he's doing this nonsense. We need to judge this. We need to check this out and what's going on. They are pushing you to a different Jesus and it's serious. And if you don't know God's word, you guess what? You will not rightly divided and you will be ashamed. We are supposed to not be ashamed because we rightly divide God's truth. We don't go about by our feelings. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who could know it? You don't even know it. You don't even know how wicked your heart is. We need to get away from that. This idea that we can just come up with our own feelings and just go for it. No, how do those feelings line up with Scripture? Are you being more and more like Jesus? Are you becoming more and more like him through his word? How shall a young man keep his way pure? By only according to thy word. Try to read Psalm 119 and not want to meditate on God's word day and night. Not want to meditate on his Scripture. These are promises to us that we hold fast to his word. It's something that is so bothersome in the church. And I wanted to get to another topic today that has to do with sexual sin. Because I think this is a big, big, big issue in the church. Sexual sin. And it actually comes from something that was trending on Twitter yesterday. If you guys have never heard of Iggy Azalea, praise God. But if you have heard of Iggy Azalea, you may know some of her songs. Hopefully, you're not meditating on them, listening to them. I knew her most because she dated a Los Angeles Laker, and I was a big fan of I am a big fan of the Lakers. And one of our young players actually recorded her boyfriend at the time bragging about cheating on her. And it actually ruined this young guy's career with the Lakers, and they traded him away and became an all-star in New Jersey. But she eventually found that guy cheating on her through the camera at her house. So, I mean, some of it's sad. I mean, some of this, you read about these people in Hollywood and stuff, and everyone has this vision that I wish I could be famous and I wish I could be that. And it's that Psalm 73 complex that, oh, look, they're not hungry. They never go without. And then you recognize, wait a second, no, they're miserable and wretched and their feet are set on slippery places. And you see that wickedness. But she was actually trending on Twitter because apparently somebody gave out the outtakes from her GQ photo shoot she did a couple of years ago. She did a photo shoot where she was supposed to be covering her breasts, and apparently there were some outtakes during that shoot, and she was upset because no one has ever allowed this to get out. Like, plenty of people have shot for GQ, and apparently they do this a lot. I don't buy the magazine, but apparently on GQ they do this a lot where they have no shirt on, but they cover themselves with their hands. And so she did that photo shoot, but the outtakes got out, and so a lot of people got to see her nude. And she wrote about this and how horrible it is, and this is some of the things she said. She posted it on her Twitter before she deleted her Twitter account, but she said, quote, I feel blindsided, embarrassed, violated, angry, sad, and a million of other things. Not solely because I did not consent to this, but also because of the vile way people have reacted. A lot of the comments I see from men in particular taking things even further and sharing their thoughts and fantasies in regards to my body was honestly disturbed me. The outright wicked things people say is overwhelming and makes me feel like throwing up. If you've ever been humiliated before in front of family and those who you care about, maybe you can relate to what I'm going through. It's like a nuclear bomb that explodes and not only destroys you emotionally, but leaves a path of destruction in your personal life, affecting relationships and the people who matter most, end quote. Now, I honestly can't feel for her in that regard and what she's going through. But, you know, sadly, this is also a woman who has written songs, like one song called P-U, money sign, Y. I don't want to get into the vulgarity of that, but just so you know, in that music video, she's literally like doing some pretty nasty stuff with young girls sitting in between their legs, eating popsicles and trying to seduce men. You know, the Bible actually warns about this, and even, you know, practically in Luke 17:2, we're causing little ones to stumble. You know, it's better to have a millstone thrown on your neck and thrown in the middle, or wrapped around your neck and thrown in the middle of the ocean. And she even has a song called Booty with J-Lo, where apparently she's just pretty much half naked in a thong dancing around with J-Lo. So it's really sad, though, because what happened was she trusted these people with her privacy. Something that was meant for God, for your spouse, actually, to see alone. You and the person that you're supposed to be with from marriage. And the Bible really warns, and she talks about how wicked these men are and all the grotesque, barbaric things they were saying. And the Bible actually warns about this sensuality, okay, as a fruit of the flesh. The Bible warns, tells us as believers, flee from sexual immorality, for every other sin you commit, a person commits, is outside of the body, but sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Sexual sin has a different effect on us. Jesus was so clear on this in Matthew 5, 27 through 30, that he warned about your adultery that you're committing by even looking at a woman and lusting after her, okay? And what Jesus prescribes for those getting involved in this sensuality and looking at this and these people that are vulgar and disgusting and try to go on Twitter. We just kind of started running ours on Good Fight Ministries lately. We're trying to be more active on there, but it is really vulgar and grotesque. And if you're not following the right things or not clicking on the right things, you're going to get some nasty stuff. And Jesus prescribes in Matthew 5, 27 through 30, that anyone who would fall into this sin of sexual sin, of lusting after a bunch of women, that they would cut off their hand and pluck out their eye. Now, I believe there's a practical lesson there where you're literally throwing out the television, okay, or throwing out your computer or getting away with the cell phone, okay? Get that out of your life if that is the thing that is bringing you to sin in this way. And I'm sure it's really sad for Iggy Azalea that this has happened, but sadly, she's put herself out there in this way. I mean, she really has. And she's been sensual, and this is how she's made millions of dollars by being sensual, and she's helped to create this beast of disgusting human beings, okay, in their depravity, with her sensual desires and passing them off to people. But God prescribes something else. He describes victory for the believer in Romans 8, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, that when you pray, your prayers, guess what? It's the Holy Spirit that prays through you with great groanings that human beings can't even utter. So what we want in this life and what we recognize is we see that sexual sin and we want to turn from it. We want to flee it. Do you want to know what God's will for your life is? 1 Thessalonians tells us. This is God's will for your life. Your sanctification. That you abstain from sexual immorality. Because guess what? As 1 Corinthians 6:18 tells us, every other sin is what? Outside the body. This one you commit against your own body. So I want to encourage you. And we got an article on Good Fight Ministries. It's called Pornography Through the Lenses of Scripture. And I really would encourage you guys to check that out. It's a powerful article, I believe, I guess because I wrote it. But it's because Scripture is involved in it. I pray that you will hold on to God's Word, that you recognize who He is through His Word and worship the Jesus of Scripture and in obedience, how His Word tells you to cut off your hand, pluck out your eyeball, and make sure you're not getting involved in this sexual sin, whether medium, whether sexual sin or otherwise. Make sure you're following him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode, and we pray that you'll be back with us next week. This has been Chad Davidson with Good Fight Ministries, and this is the 511 News.